I've been preaching this same lesson for 33 years. The last Sunday of every year, what I try to do is I try to remind us of our mortality, because 2022 has gone. By next Sunday, we will be in 2023. And as Peter pointed out, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So we look at Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Actually, Paul said that. Do this knowing the time. It is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We need to take this verse to heart. Some of us lived through 2022 and did not fulfill the responsibilities, the obligations that we agreed to do when we accepted the covenant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a good time to reflect on what we did with this past year. It's gone. 52 weeks, 365 days, we used them. Did we use them to the honor and glory of God? Or did we use them because we were forgetting about God and enjoying the beauty and the amazing technology of this world? This world is very seductive in our generation. We have sports, we have movies, we have YouTube, we have video games. We can immerse ourselves in the unreality of things that will not have any lasting value to us. God wants something better from us. Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? That I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Now, I don't know if you can listen to that verse and say amen and amen and amen, or whether this verse is a little bit foreign to the way that we are thinking. So as we look at those points that he made, do we know our end? Do we understand that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment? Are we using well the days, knowing that everything in our lives will one day be looked upon by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, looking for faithfulness, hoping to give us eternal life? But we have to know the measure of our days. We have to measure them out. There are certain responsibilities and obligations that we should be shouldering. Growing as a Christian. Reaching out to our friends and neighbors as we have opportunity. Sacrificing for the Lord. Reading the scriptures. Trying to understand and grow to back into the image and likeness of God. And so, do we really know our end? Do we really recognize that there was a time to be born? One of the days last year we celebrated is our birthday. Might have been in the spring. It might have been in the fall. Maybe in the summer or winter. We celebrated a birthday, another birthday. We're 1 year older. And as we look at that year, we have invested it and we have used it. And maybe squandered, or maybe used wisely, but we brought nothing in, and it is certain we can't carry anything out. That's why Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot consume, and thieves cannot break through and steal. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Do we really know how frail we are? I mean, do we understand it? Have we sat down and thought? It's a humbling experience. I like to be at the very top, which is where God put us. He made us in His image and likeness. We are above all things, and we have power and dominion and glory that is amazing. But sin has brought short what God wanted from us, and He's offering us a second chance, but we have to get through this life. Loving God, trusting God, obeying God, seeking His kingdom first, and putting Him first. Do we know our end? I mean, are we living each day understanding that I'm investing here or there? Do we know truly how frail we are? In Psalms 90, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, and we might substitute because we have been so blessed with medical advances, with medicines and surgeries and various things that we have been able to do, we could actually read, by reason of strength, they are 100 years. I read last week of someone who was 108. I don't know what the world record is, but their boast is only labor and sorrow. That's the best, as we look back on our lives, that's the best really we can hope for, is we worked and there's a lot of sorrow. You say, where's the sorrow come from? Well, the sorrow may not come until we're in our 70s or our 80s or even into our 90s. Some people keep their health, they keep their vigor, they keep everything, but one by one, slowly, everything we cherish and enjoy and love about this life, we're going to lose it. Some of us in our youth are going to lose it all in a heartbeat. Others are going to lose it one piece at a time. The eyes begin to fail. The ears begin to fail. We can't taste as well. The strength of the body begins to fail. That's why he says their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. You know, it's interesting, when we start the day on the job, we have certain things that we need to accomplish. And we parcel out the day. We say, I have to have this done by 9 o'clock. And then I have to move to this. And I need to have this done by 11 o'clock. And then I'm going to go to lunch. And then I need to have this done by 2 o'clock. And I need to have this done. We parcel out our time. It's also how we take on the responsibilities of school. Each year, we have it parceled out. We learn to read. We learn to write. We learn mathematics, we learn history, we learn geography, we learn, and we learn, and we learn. Then we graduate. And then we start all over if we're going to go to college. And we parcel out, and we understand this has to be done today, or the A is going to become a B. And this has to be done today, or the B is going to become a C. I read a tragic story this morning. A college student who'd been missing for, I think, 5 or 10 days. Supposed to graduate from Texas A&M. Turns out, he'd been telling his parents he was going to graduate, but he wasn't eligible to graduate. And you can fill in the rest of the story. He didn't take the time seriously. Teach us to number our days. We did it in high school, and we graduated. We do it on the job, and we keep our job, and we do a good job as God's people. If we know our end, if we know how frail we are, if we understand that we just spent one of our 70 or 80 years, and that the Lord wants us to realize some things. The days of our lives are 70 or 80. It is soon cut off. Just think about how fast the life you're living right now has gone by. Isn't it amazing that it was just this time last year that we were talking about what we were going to do in 2022? That we were thinking about our goals and our plans, and now behold, it's gone. And some of us used our days very well, and we can look back with great joy and happiness at what we've done. And that's what this lesson is all about, because when this life is over and we stand before God, it isn't the times that we spent playing video games or watching a football game or enjoying the various elements of our entertainment that's going to matter. We're going to be looking for good works. We're going to be looking for sacrifices. We're going to be looking for how much time do we spend in prayer? How much do we learn in the scriptures? When we stand before God, we're going to want to explain to God, here's how I used my life. You made me a steward. You gave me all of these opportunities, and I didn't squander them. That's how we gain a heart of wisdom. Because it is soon cut off. And we fly away. How long's it been? I think it was 3 years ago this month that Carl Stevens died. The next year was Richard Holt. This year, we didn't lose anyone.
Yes, we did.
We did?
Oh, Jack. Oh, man.
We'll fix that later. I'm really sorry. It just blitzed out of my mind. We lost Darlene. Next year, maybe someone else. We could rejoice with Carl and Richard and Darlene. They died faithful. They died using their days wisely and well. And that's an easy funeral for me to preach. It's the people who are not faithful. It's the people who have not obeyed the gospel that we pity. And we struggle and we strive to say wonderful things. And maybe we can about their work life and their parenting and their abilities, but we can't talk about their spiritual life because they didn't have one. It is high time to wake up out of sleep. I don't know what your goals and plans were for last year, if you even set any. I don't know what your goals and plans were and whether you reached them or not. I don't know. We have a song in our songbook, "Soul, you are drifting along on the tide, out in life's ocean, so boundless and wide." And then it ends, "Where will you be when you anchor tonight?" Are we charting our course? It's high time to wake up. In 1 Peter, "No longer live the rest of the time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Does the will of God interest us at all? Do we stop and think, God created me. This is his world. This is his body, his soul. Everything has been created by him in hopes that we will thank him, that we will praise him, that we will seek to do his will. That's what he wants. Not the lust of men. Not our will. When Jesus was in the garden, he had a goal that he'd been living for 3 years, actually for 30-some-odd years, that he would get through the death on the cross without failing God in any way. And so he's in the garden pleading with God. And the prayer ends with, "Not my will, but your will be done." We spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles. We need to be grateful to God. He sent his son to die for us. He created the heavens and the earth. He has our best interests at heart. He loves us. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to see the truth and live within the confines of the truth. And we've had another year to grapple with that and to make some decisions and make some changes and grow to become what God wants us to be. For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. That's the end of our life. When this life is over and we stand before God, what we've done here is going to fade into insignificance unless it was for Him. Now, I think once a year, which is what I try to do, once a year I try to bring this back into our minds so that we can set some goals. Next week, we sit down, we have a first sermon of the next year, and talk about the goals that we ought to be setting and the things that we ought to be planning and the things that we should be doing. Jeannie's dad is 91. He'll be 92. In, I think, February. He's been saying this a lot. My grandparents have died. My sister has died. My wife has died. Nearly all of my friends have died. I guess I can do it too. You think about that. We can do it. We will do it. Will we do it to awaken in comfort with Lazarus in Abraham's bosom? Or will we do it to awaken in torment with the rich man? I put this into my sermon. I think I did it last year. I do it every few years. This is called an etch-a-sketch. You draw, you turn it over, and it's gone. And if you look at those people, most of us know this show, most of us know these people. Every one of them, except for that little boy, is dead. Their lives have been spent, spilled on the ground. They're 70 or 80 years finished. Turn it over. One shake. The screen goes blank, and they're gone. That show aired in 1960, 62 years ago. And again, all the characters except one have passed. Teach us to number our days. I like to do this. I do this every time I preach a sermon or a funeral. Because in the middle of that sermon, I like to talk about Ecclesiastes chapter 7, where it says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. But we can do that today. This day is gone. This year is gone. What have we done? What have we done? This is not a math problem. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. As you look back on this last year, what abilities has God given you and what opportunities? That's your responsibility. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Now notice this, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is the church of Christ. This is where we are right now. He has gone on a journey. He's coming back. When he comes back, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? I want to see your love to me translated into work. I want to see your love for me translated into a faith that causes you to make serious changes in the way you live your life. Now, we can't assess that unless we look back. What did you do? You have abilities. Maybe you're very intelligent. Maybe you have money. Maybe you have opportunities at work with people that no one else has the opportunity with. Abilities. Opportunities. Responsibility. So, as we look back on 2022, I mean, I could say, well, let's go back to when you were baptized. Each one of us has a year. My year is 1973. Some of you, your year is in the 1960s, maybe in the 1950s. It goes back a long way. But no matter how far back we go, if we're not taking stock from time to time, we're not setting goals, the Lord's going to have something to say to us. Have we traded and made gain? As a congregation, I'd just like to talk to us about what we did this year so that we can feel good about it, because this is our work. And the work that this church is doing is shared by all of us. And so as a congregation, we are supporting 4 preachers in America. We are supporting a preacher in India and 45 preachers in Malawi. You say, how can you support 45 preachers? Well, their cost of living is $100 a month. So we're able to support 45 preachers. We sent our evangelist to Malawi for 7 weeks to ground 60 more preachers in the truth of the scriptures. We've maintained a place of worship. We have offered everyone here the opportunity Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to come together. These are the works that we've done. I feel very good about the work this congregation is doing. I feel very good about the opportunities God has given to us and how we have sought to meet those opportunities. There are not many churches who have had the kind of opportunities that God has allowed us to have, and we should rejoice in that. This is not a negative sermon. It is a sermon of reality. It's a sermon of let's look at what we did and let's make some assessments whether we did enough. And so as a congregation, I think this is important, especially when we think about Paul. Paul thanked God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. When Paul went into Philippi, he went to the riverside. He preached the gospel. He baptized a woman named Lydia, and she constrained them to go and stay at her house. From the very first day, she took care of their needs. The money we send to preachers is our fellowship in their work. The money we send to them means we're giving them time that they wouldn't have. And that's why it goes on to say this: you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift. I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. If you look at the 7 churches of Asia, you see how important this is. The Lord commends or condemns churches based on what they're doing. And the people we're supporting and the work that we're doing, Paul says, we are gaining fruit. All the work that they do as a result of the time we have given them. That's on our account. When we go before God on the judgment day and the Lord says, what did you do as a church? You can be comfortable that we as a congregation are doing the very best we can to get the gospel into all the world, to teach the truth, to stand fast, and to do the will of God. And this is God's promise to all of us. But what about individually? Well, we help Prince with his spiritual needs, emotional needs. Prince, we met Prince about, 5, 6 years ago. He got on our website. We had a correspondence course. Brian and Jeff worked with him very closely. And for the last 6 years, we've been working with him and training him. He started with 1 church, then 2, then 3, now 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 congregations he has started in an area of about 150 square miles. And he's just getting started. And we are praying for his success. We have prayed for our brethren in India who are suffering grievous persecutions. Now, I'm saying we. I've never asked you all about this, but I hope you are. If you aren't, I would suggest you set that as a goal. We have prayed for the multitudes of brethren in Malawi as they face false teachers and error. Some among you have helped build and support the two places where young evangelists are being trained and grounded in Malawi at this very moment. Many good works, individual works that we've done. And you can add your own to the list. I can't put them on there, but you know what they are. So here's my life. One of these is my life, or somewhere in between. You may be young. All the sand is still there. Opportunities. Growth. Development. Serving the Lord. He served you. He created the heavens and the earth. He created all of the challenges, every opportunity, every workplace, every invention. Praise God. He gave us the ability to do that. If we're young, we owe him something. He created us. He gave us our abilities. He gave us. Paul told the Corinthians, what do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have in your personal life that God didn't give you at birth? Or that God didn't give you the opportunity? God made this country as it is. Now, there are wonderful things and there are bad things about this country. But the fact that it exists, we should praise God. And so here I am and here you are. Are we making it better? Are we some of the salt? You remember when God said, if I can find one righteous person in Jerusalem, I'll spare it. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. There's a passage in Ezekiel where God says, I'm about to destroy Jerusalem. And he gives an angel a task. He says, he gives him an inkhorn. He says, I want you to stamp a mark on the foreheads of anyone in Jerusalem who is sighing and crying over the abominations that are being done. Would we get that mark? Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the ungodly conduct of the wicked. Do we have any ungodly conduct today? Are we vexed over it? Do we wish that God's will would be done on earth as it is done in heaven? So whether our lives are just beginning or whether they're just coming to an end, God's watching. We don't retire. We do retire from our physical work. We do not retire as Christians. We have a responsibility. So another year has come and gone. And so before we leave this year, have you repented? I mean, if your conscience is queasy at all during the course of this lesson, if there's anything in your life right now, you can fix it. And it can all be removed. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of his iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive. Because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. As we draw this lesson to a close, I'm sure we're carrying that weight right now and kind of glad to get out from under it. Before we leave 2022, and I know there's 6 days left, before you leave 2022 and start 2023, if you want to be a devout Christian, if you want to be a Christian who's considered faithful by the Lord, if you want to be a Christian who will be saved on the last day, those sins are very important. They've got to be removed. A righteous person who turns away from his righteousness and commits sin will die in it unless he repents. But a wicked person who repents will live because he turned away, he shall not die. Jack, I my heart's sick. I'm so sorry. And I'm going to fix it. I don't know how I'll fix it, but I'm going to get on my knees and ask your forgiveness. As we close this lesson, though, Jack lost his wife just a few months ago. It's still very raw, and I can't believe anyway. The lesson is finished. But what you're going to do is not. Each one of us has been blessed with the gift of life. And each one of us here has been blessed with the opportunity for eternal life. And all God asks in return, he sent his son to die for us. He created the heavens and the earth. He offers mercy and grace and compassion and love. And brethren, there's not a single one of us who are going to be able to make a case on the last day that God expected too much from us, considering what he did. When Jesus gave his life, all he asks in return is that when he buys our soul through the death of his, or excuse me, through his blood, we show a little bit of gratitude. We show a little bit of appreciation. We make some sacrifices. We show the Lord how much we appreciate what he's done for us. And I can't think of a better time than the last Sunday of the year to bring these things again into our consciousness. Maybe at this point in the sermon you're saying, I use my year wisely. I don't have to make any changes. I don't have to tell God I'm sorry for anything. But if there's anyone in the audience here who needs to repent, maybe not publicly, maybe you just need to go home and ask God to forgive you and ask God for you to use your time better next year. If you're here and you're not a Christian, or if you're here and as a Christian you have not been faithful, the song of invitation has always been designed, by this congregation anyway, as an opportunity for anyone here to get rid of anything that they've done that needs to be confessed. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. If you're carrying a burden of guilt, we can remove it. God says, if you'll confess, I will forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And so as we stand and sing number 297, if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we now together stand and sing.